I think life, a lot of our life has to do with transition. But I think you particularly have gone through some major transitions in the last couple of months here in this part of Florida. And so I hope this message will speak to all of us in particular ways where we are dealing with transition in our lives. Because life, in fact, is about transition. And I think the Advent story as a whole is also a story of profound transition. Transition from a hopeless tradition about God to the hope, a hope in relationship with God. And I think that is the key of the Christmas story, is reminding us that Jesus came that we might know God in a personal way and have hope of eternal life because of that as well. All of us face transition at some point, probably in almost every point of our lives in some way or another. Transitions are a part of everyday life in our lives, from transitioning from childhood through teenage years to adulthood. We're transitioning in many ways. From transitioning from being single to being married is also a major transition in most of our lives. Transitioning from self-centeredness and what is good for me to becoming more aware of others, and that our lives need to be centered around others as well. Transitioning from my own small world to a world that is much larger than what I have grown up with, perhaps. And transitioning from getting what I need for myself to giving back to others as well. Those are some of the normal transitions of our ordinary lives, but there are also some extraordinary ones that we have gone through. Initially, in the last 2 years, much of the world here as well, I'm sure, have gone through the transition of the COVID period and have faced a lot of transition related to COVID in the last 2 years. In many cases, that's been a transition from relative health security to health fragility, or a transition from life in community to life in isolation. In the educational field and schools, many children have transitioned from education in classroom settings to online education, often at home alone. And even in our worship services, the churches at large have had to transition from normal worshiping together to worshiping online, alone at home in many times, or now even more a blended approach to both going on. And that is affecting church life everywhere around our country and beyond. We've transitioned from a life of familiarity to a life of fear of the unknown. What is the next strand of COVID that's going to come out? What's the next thing that we're going to have to deal with? What's going on in our world? What's happening in Ukraine and Russia and other places around the world? And how are those things going to affect our lives? If there's one word that I've heard over and over in the last couple of years, it's the word unprecedented. Have you heard that word a lot? It seems like everything we hear is unprecedented, to the point where the unprecedented has become the norm. And the norm has become unprecedented, I think. At least not the way we used to think of the norm. But one thing that I think we've observed in these last 2 years, and I hope even in the transition that Florida has gone through in the last couple of months and is continuing to struggle with, is that God has a plan for transition in our lives. God wants to use those transitions to prepare us for life with Him in an even greater way and in more, giving us more profound hope. The Bible speaks a great deal to transition. Many of the Psalms in particular speak to the transition in our lives from the temporal to the eternal, from the physical to the spiritual, from the imperfect to the perfect. Psalm 102 in particular is one such psalm. It is considered a psalm of lament or affliction, contrasting the afflicted human condition and, at that time, Jerusalem's destitution to the eternal glory and supreme authority of God, who in His own good time will transform human affliction into an eternal reward in His presence. Psalm 102 was written probably at least 500 years before the time of Christ, when Israel was in captivity and had seen the destruction of their center of Jerusalem. And that's reflected in this psalm, which speaks of that affliction and that pain. But I think the way we hear that being expressed applies to our own transitions in life. And even in the time of Christ, when the world was going through major transition in what was going on in the world in that time, from the census that was going on to the turmoil and the destruction and the problems that the world faced in that time. Life, as we know it, in every situation faces tumultuous times of transition. But in that, God is still at work in those situations. And in the last five verses of Psalm 102, they summarize these contrasting themes and the result of the process of transition from our human condition to God's eternal blessing in our lives. And so I want to read with you from Psalm 102, the verses 24 through 28, and invite you to follow along with me if you have them in your Bible or on the screen as well. Psalm 102, beginning in verse 24. So I said, "Do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you." These verses are the conclusion of an expression of pain and affliction that the psalmist was expressing in the earlier verses of this psalm in particular, but also reminding us that life is about transition. All of our life involves transition, changing from what we have been to what we are to become. The psalmist compares life here and the world around us to worn-out clothing that are to be discarded and replaced by new ones. Little in this world is unchanging. The Apostle Paul reflected this idea in 2 Corinthians 4:16 when he said, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Jesus came to change our lives in an ongoing process of transition. And Advent reminds us of that process. Advent, it reflects the world outwardly wasting away, but inwardly being renewed through God's profound gift of hope in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of many cases of transition, people going through difficult times, and God using those to bring hope and change. For instance, in the book of Genesis, we have Joseph, the son, favored son of Jacob, who, because he was favored by his father over his other brothers, he was sold into slavery by his brothers, became a prisoner and a slave, but ultimately became prime minister of the great nation of Egypt. And ultimately then the savior of his family from Jacob's family and what became Israel. David himself also began as a shepherd boy in a humble setting, but God transitioned him to become a great army commander, for a time a fugitive, but ultimately become the king of Israel that God used to establish his kingdom upon in the coming Messiah. The children of Israel as a whole went through transition from being slaves in Egypt to becoming the great nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And Jesus himself transitioned from his life, glorious life in heaven, to a humble life on earth, from being the glorified creator to the crucified savior. And the Christmas story is all about that profound transition and the hope that it brings us in our humble settings as well. The Apostle Paul also went through major transition from being the greatest persecutor of the church to becoming the greatest preacher and missionary of faith in Christ as well. Our text also reminds us, in the face of all this change and transition and tumult that we face in our world, there is one thing that never changes. God's character never changes. He is the ultimate goal of our life's transitions. In verse 27 of our text, the psalmist says, "You remain the same. Your years will never end. God is the one constant that we can count on to remain the same. The one being that needs no transition, but is the object of our seeking to change, to be made more and more in his image. James, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change." Whereas we as humans are fickle and we change a lot, God is always faithful. And his faithfulness is seen in his love and his goodness to us in everyday ways and in amazing ways as well. I'd like to share one of those from a story from Côte d'Ivoire, where we are serving as missionaries in West Africa, that reflects again God's faithfulness and goodness to his people. The church has been developing some projects in Côte d'Ivoire to help become more self-sustaining and have opportunities for enlarged ministry. And one of those involves a piece of property that the church has recently purchased in the northern part of Côte d'Ivoire in a town called Lac Polo. Lac Polo is a small village just on the edge of the third largest city in the country of Korogo. And our national leader, Pastor Emmanuel, saw this property, and it was a part of a vision that God had given him to develop a retreat center that would serve the church throughout the country, but could also be rented out and develop this property for other projects, agricultural and other projects for the development and support of the church on a national level. And so as that property was purchased and we began looking at how to develop it, it became quickly apparent that one of the great needs for this property and this village as a whole would be for a well, a drilling of a well to provide clean water for the people and for the building projects as well, because there was no good source of water in this entire village. The women would have to walk 2 or 3 miles to another village sometimes just to find water that they could use for bathing and for cooking and for drinking purposes. And so we began the project of raising funds to engage a drilling company to come and drill a well on this property. And at a certain time, that was set up, and the date was set for the drilling team to come and begin drilling on this property. The lead person on this drilling team in this company happened to be a young man who was a Christian. And so he began setting up the equipment with his team on the property at Lac Polo. And as he was doing that, the elders of the village, who were not believers, but who were traditional Africans, which means that they believed in animal sacrifice and worship of ancestral spirits and other animalistic spirits, these elders came to the drilling team and the leader in particular and said, "You know, before you can begin drilling on this property here, you must offer a chicken, a sacrifice to our ancestral gods in this area. If not, they will not bless your efforts and you will not find water." Well, this young man, being a Christian, knew their customs and knew what they believed, but he also knew something else. And so he said to the leaders, "I respect very much your beliefs and I understand what you're saying, but I also know that this property belongs to the church. And the church puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone and the God who created the land and put the water under the land. And so we're not going to sacrifice a chicken, but we're going to pray and ask that God to provide water and to bless our efforts." And so that established a wait and see kind of conflict situation. Many of the village people stood around and began watching as they began drilling to see what was going to happen. Was God truly going to provide the water, or were there village spirits who would not be happy keep that from happening? And so they began drilling. They got down to 30, 40, 50 meters, no water. It's not unusual to be 70, even 80 meters sometimes before they would find water. So they kept going, 60, 70 meters, no water. The other group and the other members of the drilling team were getting a bit concerned. But their leader, the Christian young man, said, "No, we're going to keep going because we believe God is going to provide." And so they drilled down 80 meters, still no water. 90 meters, still nothing. They were getting pretty worried. The young man said, "No, we're going to keep on going." The others were saying, "No, I think we need to pull up and relocate because obviously there's no water in this location. And that would involve more time and expense." The young man said, "No, we're going to go further." They drilled to 100 meters, still no water. Even the young man was getting a little concerned, but he said, "No, we're going to keep on going." And at 104 meters, here's what happened. That was a young man in the black there who was a little more than excited when he said, "C'est l'eau qu'on attrape là." That means that's water we've got there. And he was excited, as were everybody else. And that was a testimony, again, of God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's love for his people, that he would provide that water that is now serving that community and is available now for the church to develop. We have a water tower on that property with a pump house, and water is in abundance and available in the village of Lac Polo. And we hope in the coming months to see that property begin being developed for the needs of the church and for the local community as well. In fact, we were told by some who had the water tested that, in fact, the water is so pure that we actually could sell it as a quantity of, like, in bottled it and sell it for profit as well. And so that's just how God works, isn't it? Isn't God amazing? We also find that our life transitions prepare us for things that lie ahead, for what God is doing each step of our lives to help us become more and more like Christ. In verse 28 of our text in Psalm 102, the psalmist sees these transition events in our lives as steps to move us to live in God's presence and even to prepare our children to become more and more like him and to become established in God's presence. The Apostle Paul expressed a similar understanding of the goals of troubles leading to something much more enduring and of a substantial quality in our lives when he said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." God is indeed preparing us through even the challenges and the struggles and the pain of hurricanes, of COVID, of family problems and issues that we face in life, by using these to prepare us for what he wants to do in a greater way in our lives as well. I'm going to ask my wife to come and share a story about a young man in Côte d'Ivoire who had to go through some hard times, appeared to be going backwards in his life, but ultimately to prepare him to go forward even more so. This young man's name is Ezekiel, and Leanne had a particular connection with Ezekiel that I'd like for her to share with you.
Larry is very correct when he said that there was a definite connection that happened with Ezekiel and I. We had met when he was about 13 years old, and he came to the Yamoussoukro Church through his uncle. His uncle is the one who does all of the work for the CBH sessions that go out on the radio. And so Jibe is his uncle. Ezekiel came as a 13-year-old boy, and he started going to what we called the young youth. And he was excited to be a part of that group, but he was a bit quiet. He was a bit shy. And so I always kept saying, "Ezekiel, you can do it. We can do this." And he was always a help. He would always come, and he'd help get the chair set up, and he was always prepared to do whatever was going to happen. Ezekiel continued to stay in Yamoussoukro with us, and he continued to grow. And he was getting ready to go into the youth group. And he was real excited, and he got to go out to where his grandmother lived. And there he got to play with some of his friends before getting into high school. And they were out in the water having a great time. They thought it was just wonderful to be out in that water and to play together and have fun before they got going into the high school 8 years. Ezekiel came back and he said, "Mama, it was a great time." He said, "I really loved being with my friends and with my family." He said, "But you know what? I got this funny little white bump on my arm." He said, "I don't know what it is." And I said, "Well, let's just watch it." Well, we went home on home assignment, and when we came back, I was so excited. I thought, "Oh, good, it's going to be great to see Ezekiel. He should be getting ready to finish school, and he'll be getting ready to go into college." And when we got back, I didn't see Ezekiel. And I thought, "Well, this is strange. Why is he not here?" And so I went to his uncle, And I said, Jibe, where's Ezekiel? Why is he not here? He said, oh, he's home today. I think he's okay. I said, all right, I'll be praying for him. Well, the next Sunday came along and Ezekiel wasn't there again. And I was getting really concerned because it was just so out of character for Ezekiel. So I kindly asked if I could come over and see Ezekiel and to find out what was going on. And they said, yes, you may come over. And I said, okay. So Larry got in the car and we went over to where they lived and we walked into their house. It was a little dark and Ezekiel was not right there in the room. He came out, and when he came out, he had on a sling over his arm, and it was quite wet. And I said, Ezekiel, what's going on? And he said, well, I'm not real sure what all, but I'm having a little bit of a hard time with my arm. And I said, well, may I see it? And he said, you may see, Mom. Oh, man. He took it off. I'm sorry. This is kind of a hard moment for me to share this, but he took it off. And when he did, there was no flesh left on his arm. There was nothing. And I was looking at it, and I said, Ezekiel, I think this is an ulcer de Broglie. This is a disease that we see often in Côte d'Ivoire. It is waterborne, and it takes the flesh completely off, and they have to go in for treatment to get it taken care of. And so I asked at that moment of Ezekiel's uncle, I said, Jibe, can we please take Ezekiel to the center where they deal with ulcer de Broglie? And he said, yes, we will go with you. So we took him, they tested his arm, and they said, this is an ulcer de Broglie. And I said, okay. And they said, we will need him to go to another center that is closer to where he is, his home, and he will need to go through treatment there. And I said, we looked at each other and we said, okay. And so this was a place where his family lived, and he was able to get into that clinic. He spent 9 months in that hospital. And during that time, his mother would be there with him. She would bring her child with her. They would stay there. And Ezekiel went through treatments. They did a lot of different antibiotics on it. And as it began, they began to watch it. They began to do grafting from his leg. And he now is completely covered with his skin. And we praise God that just a week or two after his birthday, he was released. Ezekiel came back to Yamoussoukro. He finished his high school year. And today, Ezekiel is in college in Bouaké, which is a city that is to the north of us, and there's a brand new church there that is reaching young people. Ezekiel is one of those key leaders in that church. We praise God. It's Ezekiel. Yeah, it's God. Ezekiel had to go back to go forward. He had to go back, and he had to go through that lesson of letting God bring the healing that he needed to his arm, so that he could go forward and God would go forward. Wasn't long after he came back to Yamoussoukro, Ezekiel was just waiting for the pastor to say, anybody have a testimony today? Ezekiel was sitting in the second row, and I'm telling you, he jumped out of his seat. He jumped and he raised his arm and he said, this is my testimony. This is what God has done for me. What is he doing for you? Whew, he really hit it. He hit it right on the nose. And just continue to pray with us for Ezekiel as he continues there in Bouaké to truly be that light, that profound light that had to go backwards before he could go forward.
I'm not sure about that. Afterwards, you can pick up our newsletter, which actually has a picture of Ezekiel with some of the youth from the youth convention this past summer that he was involved in. And the Lord is continuing to use Ezekiel in amazing ways. As a young man, as Leanne said, he was very shy and quiet, but now he's speaking out for what the Lord has done for him and is becoming a leader among the youth. And our pastor in Yamoussoukro has even used him several times to preach in the church and share his testimony with others as well. It's through those times of profound transition, difficulty, challenge, that God brings profound hope into our lives. And Ezekiel has learned that lesson. And I think that's the lesson of the Christmas story that God wants to remind all of us. Even as we recover from hurricane damage, from health issues, from family issues, God brings us profound hope through those times of turmoil as well. And so we pray that you will grasp that in your particular transitions as well. Leanne and I are working through some transitions in our lives and our future as well, and are learning how to apply these truths to us as well. In the past 26 years that we have lived in Cote d'Ivoire, 20 of those we have lived in the city of Yamoussoukro. But we are about to go through a geographical transition, moving from the city, small town of Yamoussoukro, to the big city of Abidjan, a city of over 8 million people. It's the city that we fly into on the coast of Cote d'Ivoire when we return from the States. And it is a city of great need. With 8 million people, there are many, many millions of people who do not know Jesus Christ, and there is a great need for more to be done in that area. And so we will be transitioning in January from where we've lived 20 years in Yamoussoukro to going back to where we used to live when we first came into Cote d'Ivoire. We lived in the city of Abidjan where we began our ministry, and God is calling us to move back there in order to move forward with new ministry and new opportunities as well. And so for us, moving forward means moving back to the city of Abidjan as well. We're also going through some transition relationally in our relationships. When we first arrived in Cote d'Ivoire in 1996, we were working with a very new and young group of believers, just one congregation in the city of Abidjan, none outside of that. And as we began working and ministering, we were involved in all aspects of ministry, from pastoring, teaching, leading Sunday school, vacation Bible school, evangelism, administration, and various other types of leadership. But over the past 26 years, we've had the privilege of training leaders in all those positions, so that today all 19 congregations of the Church of God in Cote d'Ivoire and 30 plus cell groups are now being pastored by African pastors and leaders. All the Sunday school teachers are African Sunday school teachers. In almost every area of ministry, we are seeing well-trained, developing African leaders serving in those areas of ministry. And so that is giving us the opportunity to change our role, transitioning from being seen as the parents. Many still call us mama and papa, but in actuality, we're more like partners in ministry. We're more like parents of adult children who allow their kids to drive them around instead of them, mom and dad, doing all the driving. And so we're kind of in the back seat and letting them take the wheel. And where they need our encouragement, they need our counsel, we're still available for that. But it's a privilege for us to see them moving forward as we take the back seat, and they are moving far, even farther beyond than where we could go ourselves. We're also transitioning in our ministry focus as well. Our focus for the last 26 years has been centered around the country of Cote d'Ivoire, but there are actually 26 countries across Africa that are French-speaking, and you see those on the map behind me in the dark blue. Those are all the French-speaking portions of Africa. 55 countries, 26 of those being French-speaking in Africa. And the Church of God is active in only four of those 26 French-speaking countries. And so our new assignment as we return will be to go to those four countries and continue encouraging the church there and helping, teaching, and helping them understand and practice the teachings and doctrines of the Church of God, but also beginning to reach out to some of their neighboring countries and tribes and other parts of their country that are not being reached with the gospel as well. And so we're looking at a change of our ministry focus. In some ways, looking back to where we used to be, like the countries of Congo and Rwanda, to moving forward with the church in those places and helping them move forward beyond their own boundaries as well. And finally, we are looking at moving, having transition in our generational focus as well. From the present generation of leaders, the ones that we first trained, who are now in all major leadership roles in the country, but who are moving up in their 50s and 60s, but have young people that they have raised in their homes and in their churches, who are now in their 20s and 30s, who have started families, who are raising their families in the church as well. And now these young people are poised to become leaders in the church. And some of them already are becoming very active leaders in the church. And so we're helping our first generation of leadership recognize their role also to reach the younger generations as well, to helping them to teach emerging leaders to look ahead as well, to see how their example will affect future generations. The psalmist in our Psalm 102 stated his purpose for writing this song in verse 18 of Psalm 102, where he said, "Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord." As he had contemplated God's perspective on his life, he realized that those transitions in his life were not only for his own good, but also for the benefit of those who would come after him, who could benefit from what he had learned, from what he had experienced. And God has called all of us to also look ahead to how our example, our experience, our dealing with life's difficulties, and discovering God's profound hope in those transitions can also help our children, our grandchildren, the youth of the church, and those with whom we have connection and contact, even for a future generation not yet born, that they might also praise the Lord in coming years as well. And God has called us to do that over the past 26 years in Côte d'Ivoire, to look ahead to the future generations who need Christ's transformation in their lives, so that a people not yet created in 2022 may also praise the Lord in years to come as well. And I think that's a part of the Advent story as well. Advent was all about transition. Jesus' family transitioned from Nazareth to Bethlehem under tumultuous situation, and then from Bethlehem to Egypt under threat. And God was involved in all of that transition. They also transitioned as a whole, as a people, from God being above us to God being with us, Emmanuel. And they also transitioned from a religious background where man's sacrifices were meant to appease God to where God's sacrifice came for man's benefit in the person of Jesus Christ. And that brings profound hope and joy to the earth for each generation. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. Advent's tumultuous times of transition brought ultimate salvation to all people. Amen? For our people today, for the people in Fort Myers and Port Charlotte and right here in Venice who have suffered great loss, there is a message of hope, of ultimate hope, that even in these times of tumult and transition, God has a plan. God loves us, and he wants to share his love, his hope, and his plan to all people, even today. And so in closing, I want to encourage you to reflect on what transition you may be going through. How is God at work in that transition? It might be health issues. It might be family issues. It might be the issues of financial difficulty and rebuilding after the hurricane. Whatever transition you're working in, what is God's purpose in that? And how can that benefit others as well, even future generations? And how are you handling that as well? Remember, Advent is all about profound hope born out of times of profound transition. And I pray that you will find that profound hope and share it with others this Christmas season in preparation for a future generation not yet created, that they may also praise him in future Christmases. May I pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your people here in Venice. We thank you for their resilience because of their hope in you, and that even through great hardship, they have found hope. Hope not in people or government or insurance or other means, but hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in your provision that even in these hard times, you are at work for our good. And we thank you. And we pray that through that, the church might be made even stronger, and that people around us would recognize that true hope, profound hope, comes only when we put our profound trust in you to work those transitional times, those tumultuous challenges that we have faced, to transform them into something good. Thank you, Lord, for your hope this Christmas season. May we share it with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and Merry Christmas. Continuing to hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you.